We are embarking on this four-part collection of talks that talks about our core, who we are, down to the center at Village Heights. And so this collection of talks is modeled after one of my favorite topics. Okay, so space, planets, universe, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. I completely nerd out over it. I will bore you with, might interest you in some facts about it. I'm the kind of guy, when you see those documentaries on Netflix where it's like, they got the biggest nerds of all creation in all the world, and they put them all in one show to talk about. I love those shows, okay? I love those shows. It fascinates me because the universe is so powerful, but so delicate. It is the capabilities of what it's able to do and what God put in design, but it's so delicate. Like I said last week, if you move the earth a mile away from the sun, we can't survive. If we move it a mile closer to the sun, scientists believe we won't survive. So the fact that we are in this spot, in this place where life can thrive, how could you deny that this wasn't a master plan? And it's just, when I watch those shows, most people are like trying to disprove the possibility that God made it. I think it just proves it even more. There's a lot of things they can't explain, and I'm like, the answer is God. Like, somebody designed it, duh, but, you know, whatever. So, just for a second here, as we break into this, I'm going to nerd out for a bit. Is that okay? Will y'all nerd out with me? You might find it interesting. So, the rock that we're flying around in this universe, this big rock that we're on, which is ironic because I just realized this. My son handed me a rock this morning, and I'm going to put that right there. All right. The rock we're flying around is fascinating to me. I mean, I know there's a lot of cool planets out there, a lot of cool things, but Earth is fascinating because there's no other planet that is able to achieve and operate the way Earth does. It's such a powerful thing, and we've explored so much. Now we're not just on the hunt for other planets. We're on the hunt for other Earths. We're trying to find, is there another planet out there as fascinating as this planet that's able to be able to spin around and be able to give life and have that? Amazing to me. So here's some little bit of facts. So if you're not amazed by Earth, I'm about to amaze you by Earth, okay? Here's a little bit about facts about Earth. So 29% of what we can see is land on Earth. 29% of what we can see on the outer shell of Earth is land. You can walk on it, you can drive on it, you can travel on it. The other 71%, water. Just think about that, how crazy that is. The other 70% is just water. It's a big swimming pool out there, right? And that's really cool. But the outer layer, so what we can see is land and water. What percentage do you think that is of the actual size of the Earth? Everything that you can see. Exactly, 1%. Everything that you see out there, when you walk out this door, when you get on a plane and you're flying, or all that stuff that you can see, and you're like, man, that's huge. That outer shell is only 1% of the whole planet. It makes me excited, but also nervous, okay? Because I'm like, man, we're just on this little plate, on this big, big globe. Just 1%. A huge 99% of the rest of the Earth, you can't even see it. We can barely track it. Scientists are still guessing. They take educated guesses what's down in the center. Now, they're getting, I think, probably pretty close over the time. But the only time we get to see what's in the Earth is when it comes out, when the planet has a blemish and it, like, pops a pimple and it all comes out and creates a new island or whatever it is. That's the only thing. That's the only way we know what is actually in the Earth. And it's so powerful, so hot, that we can't even touch it when it comes out. We have to wait until it cools off to be able to inspect it. That's what most of this world is made of. So this is where we find the core of the Earth. So when we go down to the cores, there's an inner core and an outer core. The outer core is made of mantle. That's the stuff that comes out of volcanoes. It's super hot, it's liquid, it's swirling around, and it's only 1,800 miles below the surface of the Earth. So if you burrow down 1,800 miles, you would find mantle. You would find this hot, hot liquid. And mantle is actually 8,000 degrees. You thought your house was hot at 75? Imagine 8,000 degrees. That is crazy. That is crazy hot. But then you go down to the inner core, which is a more solid material. And as you get close to the inner core, the gravity kind of increases and it pulls things together. So in the inner core is 3,200 miles down from the surface of the earth at a whopping 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. 10,000. Some of you are like, man, it feels like that outside. It feels like 10,000. 10,000 degrees. Talk about white hot. It's massive, it's super hot, and super powerful. Scientists believe that's what causes this mantle that moves around and it's so hot and so massive. That's what creates the magnetic fields that are on our world. And here's more interesting facts of how just like we are just a millisecond or a blip away from being annihilated. These magnetic fields that push, they push out stuff. So all these harmful radiation that comes from space, these magnetic fields push it away. It protects us. Doesn't that sound like a design to me? I think so. God even gave us an invisible fence to keep things out that we don't want in. It pushes away all that harmful stuff so that we can continue to have life here on earth. Are you fascinated yet? I am. I'm getting excited, guys. For life to continue as we know it. So for you to continue to go to Starbucks and get your Frappuccinos, okay, for you to continue to enjoy Taco Tuesdays, to be able to have Chick-fil-A, to be able to have debates about chicken between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, be able to have all of that, for to have college and professional football, that's what we're all embarking on right now, you all, some of you are super excited about. Anything you enjoy here on earth, that car that you love to drive, that person that you love to have relationship with, all of that depends on that other 99% of this planet. If that core didn't exist, you don't get to sip that coffee. You don't get to go out to the ballpark and have fun. If that core doesn't exist, if it didn't exist, we wouldn't have the power, the magnetic power to be able to hold it all together from the center, and we'd just be like scattered about in the galaxy. We'd be just these floating pieces. Without that core, you wouldn't get to join Netflix. You wouldn't get to binge watch The Office again. It all depended on that. That material that makes a majority, that hot, white hot, burning material, the right kind of material, wouldn't happen without it. So just how special does that make you feel? That God wanted you to exist so bad that he created this defying, law-defying of just everything, just this immaculate ball rock so you could exist on it. That makes me feel pretty special. Makes me feel pretty good. There's a God out there who has crafted all of this just for this moment. For me to be able to be hooked up to a microphone, be recorded, to be in air conditioning in this building that's covered, be able to talk to you, all of this. He created the world for that. Things don't seem so random anymore, do they? The makeup of the earth is not far from the model of the church, of what we feel. The church does not mean a building. These walls, you know, I know it's obviously it's a blessing to be. Actually, I think buildings are blessed because of the church that resides in it. I don't think that walls, one sheetrock is more blessed than another piece of sheetrock. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Miss Davis's house is just that much more special. It's because the people that are making it special. It's Miss Davis that made that house special that was worth putting all that work into. The sheetrock is all the same. The dirt is all the same. It's a gathering of living people that what makes it possible. Just like the gathering of living life on this planet and the possibility of being able to happen is what makes the church special. For life to continue and flourish, the core of who we are, our church, for life to continue to be flourishing from our church, our core values have to be white hot. They got to be so polarizing. They got to be so powerful that it continues to push growth. We could fight for one thing and say, all right, now we're done. That means life would cease. We got to keep in motion. And for to keep in motion, those core values have to be so powerful that they can't do anything but be in motion. So as we walk through this next four-part collection, we'll be reviewing these core values of who we are. So we begin at the center. We begin at the center of who we are. The center, just like the center of the earth, what everything holds on to, this core value that we're going to begin with is what everything holds on to. Without this first core value, we wouldn't have what we have. And it's very purposeful in the way that we've named it and have defined it. Without that center point, that direction that pulls everything together and keeps it all and coalesce, we would just be floating everywhere. There's a lot of times when you go out somewhere and you see an organization and you're like, man, their cause is important. What they say they want to be, but man, they are all over the place. They can't seem to get anything done. What they want to do is noble, but just because they can't hold to a certain point, they can all jump off the same spot. They're everywhere, and they're not able to get anything done. For us as a church, to get something done, we got to start from the beginning. We all got to start from the same point, the same place. For us, that element is exactly how it sounds, and that's to be Christ-centered. That is the first thing that we do. Just like the inner core of the hottest part of the earth, it's the same for us. That core value for us, be Christ-centered, has to be burning white hot. That's got to be the hottest thing about us. That's got to be the thing that motivates us the most, because that's where it begins. Because that power, when we put Christ into the center of it, he's limitless. And so there's nothing that can outlast him on this earth. And so as long as we are, that's the center of who we are, that is the hottest point of who we are, everything else will have to bend to it, rather than bending Jesus to it or us to whatever is outside of us. So Christ-centered is that first thing. If there's going to be life in our church, and we're going to bring life or save life, we have to have a burning, burning, white-hot desire to start with Christ. So that core value is defined as this. We are focused on Christ's mission of bringing in and leading those not yet on their faith journey. We accomplish this by being biblically based in our faith and practices and be spiritually animated in our words, actions, and plans. This is just a real fancy way of saying everything that we do begins with Jesus. Everything that, every series, every any involvement in any other ministry, anything that we do centers around Jesus. It all begins with the purpose of to focus on Christ's mission of bringing and leading those not yet on their faith journey. Everything we do is for that. But here's the rub, right? Here's the difficulty. So that's easy enough to say, and you're like, oh, that's great. Let's do that. It's not enough to just say it. It's not enough to just say, oh, this is our core value, and then it just all works out. Another interesting fact about the earth is its dependency on the sun. Scientists believe that there is nothing more important to the surface of the earth than the sun. The heat that we get from it, the warmth, the light that we get from it. Without the sun's light, heat and light, the earth would be a lifeless ball iced rock. The sun warms the seas. It stirs the atmosphere, it generates our weather patterns, it gives us energy to grow for growing plants, providing food and oxygen for the life of the earth. The inner core here, but here's the thing, here's the cool part about it. The inner core of the earth is just as hot as the surface of the sun. Isn't that interesting? That the sun, this ball of fire out there that we're like, it is burning our skin. Some of us still have tans or sunburns from it. I've got one this summer. The sun got me one time at least. And we had to put stuff to block it. That powerful thing that we are tens of thousands of miles away from, that same power, same energy, same heat resides under us. It comes from the inside out as well. It's crazy to think that same amount of power is in the heart of the earth that resembles the outside sun. But it's not enough. See, it's not enough just for the sun to exist to make life happen, make flourishing life happen on here. The same power that's out there has to happen on the inside as well. You catching what I'm saying? The same power that is outside, and we see that sun, we know it's there, that same power has to be inside the earth as well to make life happen on that outer crust, that little plate that we're all dancing around on, you know? We think that we're staking claim to in a weird way. That outside ball, it's got to be all from the same. It's no different for humans. It's not enough that we just acknowledge that Jesus exists. That's great. He exists, but he also has to exist inside that same power that's out there that we see and we acknowledge. That's got to exist on the inside of us. And that's got to be working in tandem to create life that happens outside of life abundantly. Because when that is, he's already burning white hot. Jesus can't be more polarizing than he already is. I mean, he was only here for about 30 years here on earth, and man, he made a stink. And we're still talking about him. But that same power, we have to give it opportunity to be in here. But when we do that, that's why I always say it's great that, you know, I think it's very catalyzing to live the teachings of Jesus. If you believe in it or not, I think it's going to change your life. But if you believe in him, if you believe in him to that power is in the side of you, man, now it's a game changer. Life begins to change. And if you became later, like I grew up a Christian, so it's kind of hard to kind of see that change. But if you didn't know Christ, and then later in life, you came back to Christ, you got to see firsthand what happens. How it's just all of a sudden people see it differently. You act differently. You begin to have this thing about you that people just want to know about you. It's almost contagious. For life to flourish, we need him doing his thing on the outside and on the inside. So some of you are like, okay, I'm sold. You got me, Bill. That was convincing argument about the earth. That was very interesting. I'm now an earth nerd like you. And it's not flat, just saying out there. Okay, but put that out there. I poked the bear a little bit. But you're sold, okay? You're like, I get it. Christ-centered, got to be white hot about it. We got to be down to our core about it. And beginning with Jesus. So some of you are like, but what does that look like? You're like, that's great that you think that, and that's awesome. I agree. You've made a great argument. But what does that look like to be Christ-centered? How do you emulate that? What does that turn into? See, the thing is, if we're going to be filled with Jesus, if he's going to be burning white hot in us, we got to know what Jesus was filled with. We got to know what's inside of him so we can emulate that. The apostles knew this, and this is... And then that's why they recorded this stuff. And this is John's account of what Jesus is filled with. John 1, 14 through 17, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Listen to the words. "Full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, 'This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given to Moses, but by grace and truth came by Jesus.'" To be Christ-centered as a church, that means that we are full of grace and truth. So what does that mean? What does that look like? So it's two things listed. It's very simple. See, grace sounds good, and we all want grace. But the hardest thing about grace is giving grace. Everybody wants to receive grace, and they'll take it all day. Yeah. Can I get grace on that speeding ticket? Can I get grace on those student loans? Can I get grace on that? You know what? We want grace, but man, is it hard to give away. Man, is grace. It's because it's messy, and when you got to give grace, that means that you got to forgive some things that hurt you, even though you're justified. Even though, man, they shouldn't have done that. That was painful. Grace is that thing that comes in and says, but I'm not giving up. I'm not closing the door. Grace is messy, uncomfortable, but it's polarizing. When you offer true grace, watch what people do. It gets their attention. They start attracting to you. And they're like, why are you so kind? What's the end game? Sometimes it's a push away. Sometimes when we want to help people and it's a lot of grace, they're like, why would you do this? What do you want from me? You know, like, why? Well, just want to love you. Just want to extend some grace. And then there's truth. And truth, that's the hard thing. That's one of the difficult ones, is because truth, it's not always bad news, but sometimes it opposes what we want. Truth is one of the big things that's very polarizing. That's one of the things that humanity doesn't really want to accept from God. Because God created us and designed us in a certain way to operate in a certain way. And so that when that truth comes in, it negates our selfishness. We want to decide what we are. We want to know who, and so it's polarizing. It changes things. So not only is one of them polarizing, you got two polarizing things, grace and truth. But when you use them in tandem, they work together. You would think that those are completely on the other side of the world realm, but Jesus showed us how they both work together. So that was Jesus. He was completely full of it. And if it's not just something to acknowledge it, we have to individually emulate it. So I ask you, what are you filled with? Are you just letting Jesus shine out there, or is he shining in here as well? Are you acknowledging, saying, I don't deny that Jesus is there, but I'm not going to let him dictate what happens in here? Are you letting him shine? Are you letting him come from the inside out? What we've been able to achieve in this action group, it's an inside out thing. It takes sacrifice. It takes all these things. It has to be from the inside out. Because Jesus, although I'm sure he could, he gave us the responsibility to love others. He's not going to appear from the sky and build the house. I mean, that would be really cool to see. But he trusts us to say, hey, I want you to love others as I have loved you. And so we have to get on it. If you're wondering, is Jesus in there? You're still pondering on it. It's like, I don't know if Jesus is shining. Track your resources. Track your time, your money, and your relationships in your life. Track those things, and you will find what's on the inside. Because whatever is out there, whatever you're using most of that for, will define who you are, define what you're filled with. So throughout Scripture, there's examples of that, the grace and truth, and how people should act in regards to these resources that God has given us. And it's the kind of the proof is in the pudding. You know, if you really want to know what somebody's about, just watch what they do with what they have. And it's real easy to kind of figure out. And so Scripture is constantly telling us how to act, what to do with our resources. Paul, throughout Scripture, is constantly having to break up church fights, okay? Trying to stop division in the church splits. Because people are usually more worried about what's in the core of others than what's in their core. They're more focused in judging about how are you doing it and why would you do that way rather than worrying about what they're... Because if they would worry more about what's on the inside, if people would worry more... Because there's no way for me to know what's inside of somebody else. Only God knows that. So me walking around trying to guess and judge, I'm usually way off. But I know what's in here. And if I start within here, then I have an example to show, and then people see the fruit, they see the proof in the pudding of what's happening in my life, and they go, man, I want that. And then it kind of goes from there. But if we still can't get it, if we're still neglecting our own inner core, like I said last week, if we move forward with one scripture, one command, being Christ-centered will always be fulfilled, always. This one commandment requires us to always be full of grace and truth. This one thing that Christ said, okay, guys, I know this is confusing. God, you're not going to be able to figure out God. You can't put him in a box. But do this one thing, and you'll be emulating me. You'll be fulfilling it. And we see it here in John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give to you, meaning this new command is over all the other commands. New command I give to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we love others just as Christ loved us, we can't do that without having grace and truth. We can't do it. Because what Jesus did for us was the ultimate sacrifice. He brought the ultimate truth. He knew the ultimate truth. And he could have slain us all. And we would have deserved it. But he had grace. Talk about ultimate grace. The perfect one coming down and seeing everybody fit to save. That's full of grace, but full of truth. I believe it's impossible to fill this commandment without grace and truth. It's tough. It's messy, it's sacrificial, and it's why people try to bend the image of Jesus, God, and the church. We have to keep starting church over and over. There's so many times that we're having to re-begin church. Let's re-kickstart it. When we came to the community of the Heights community, we knew that we're going to have to not just be able to start, we're going to have to work backwards so that we can go forward. We got to rewrite what they think about church, because when we arrived and said, hey, this is Bill and Hannah, we're here to start a church, they weren't like, thank God, you know, you're here. They were like, oh, well, good for you. Do that over there. Because they had a preconceived notion of what church was. And I'm sure whatever they were thinking was church done in the wrong way. So we had to work backwards. We had to start not just from the beginning, we had to start from the past, rewrite some history. But we won't have to start over and over, or have to start over later, if we realize now what we have to keep white hot. As long as we keep it white hot down to our core, it all begins there. So what does your core look like? If you had to define it, if you had to measure its temperature, because if it's according to Scripture and you're a Christ follower, man, you should be full of grace and truth. And that should be just beaming out of you. You're out there saying you're sorry to people that you didn't even wrong, because you love them so much and you want to see them on a path to Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I've had to apologize for people who are Christians that I don't even know to help somebody get back to Christ. I talk to people and they're like, the reason I left the church is because this folks did this to me. And I'm like, I'm not them, but I am so sorry. I will take responsibility. They shouldn't have done that. But now let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you how it's really supposed to go, and what he really is, and what Scripture says that he really is. So what does your core look like? Is it white, hot, burning passion for Christ? Or is it something else? Or you can't tell. Follow the resources, time, talent, and treasures. Follow them. You will find what's burning hot inside of you. Or for some of you, it's dark. There needs to be a kickstart. There needs to be a spark inside of there. You might need someone to come along and say, hey, have you met Jesus? Let me tell you about him. And you acknowledge that sun that's out there that's shining on you, and then you let him in, let him spark something inside of you, and let's know now he's shining on the inside. And life begins to change. No matter where you are or where you look at the sun, let him shine on you and let that him shine on others through you. Accept him as the sun. And I guarantee you, even if you've been a believer for a long time and that light's gone dim, you've gotten kind of cold inside, if you will just accept it, live in grace and truth, man, you'll be burning white hot again in no time. No time. But for Village Heights to continue, to continue to be who we are, to make craters in the community and what we're doing, to keep catching the attention of the news, and they show up and be like, how are you doing this? How did you get all these people to come and volunteer? And we're just burning white hot for Jesus. It's that simple. Yeah. But that's where we have to begin. So that's the first core value of who we are. So guys, I challenge you. If you want to see Village Heights keep doing amazing, cool stuff, that God keeps giving us these opportunities to do these really cool, start at home. Go home. You have to individually be burning white hot so that we can come together and be collectively burning white hot on the inside for Christ. Man, when you get a group together, like it says, when two or three are gathered, I'll take two to three burning white hot people of followers of Christ than 100 people that don't know him. Because that three will do so much more. And that's why when we go places, they think we're a church of like 1,000 when we're really not. Because that's how powerful God is. He's working on the outside and on the inside. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. Thank you that that we get to be a part of this journey, Lord. That yes, we acknowledge you, but Lord, you're burning inside of us as well. I pray that we feel this challenge, Lord, that we adhere to the word and that we keep you in the forefront of who we are on the inside. So that, Lord, you can keep changing. You can change our atmosphere. You can change everything in us, around us that needs to be changed. So, Lord, that we can continue to be the catalyst, the life-giving substance to our families, to the strangers, to anybody that needs to know Christ or continues to know Christ, Lord, that we want to be that. So, Lord, I pray that we do not lose that desire to be burning white hot with you. Lord, we love you. Bless Village Heights, and bless this Labor Day weekend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.